This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Morning, Andre.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you very much for participating in this with me, a kind of dialogical sermon.
Yeah, it's the second time I've ever done this in my life.
How'd the first one go?
Not too well.
Not too well, okay. Well, you know, we can actually say that you and I form a confluent cooperation this morning.
Yes.
Couldn't we?
Yes. Well, we've had two wonderful messages the last 2 days with John Harvey and with Dr. Beyer, inspiration and inerrancy. And I was wondering, do you have any comments about those messages before we proceed this morning?
Let me look at my phone. I took a couple of notes. Maybe of some help. Let's see. Harvey.
Okay. He's looking at his phone.
Yeah, he talked about what does inspiration involve, although I spelled the word inspiration wrong when I typed it. The little keys are so small. What does inspiration include? Why is inspiration important? I really enjoyed that. It was good. And then Beyer talked about a lot of things. He made some joke about palm trees that people didn't get until later. It was just odd. And then he made some wonderful applications that inerrancy doesn't mean that our interpretations are necessarily correct and so on. And that's pretty much all I got.
Okay.
Yesterday, but it was good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was really good. Wonderful. It was really good. We're talking about the intimacy of Scripture this morning. And Andre, does that mean reading the Bible in the cool moonlight with someone you like a whole lot?
Not quite.
It could, though.
It could. Yeah,
okay. So in thinking about this particular topic, Andre, is it possible to have a correct view of the Scriptures but miss its overall purpose, which is to know the Lord?
I think intellectually speaking, we can have a correct view of Scripture, but experientially, we're not obeying the Scriptures and following the Lord's heart through the Scriptures. It's impossible to have a high view of Scripture and not follow it up with a life lived by the Scriptures.
I'm hearing you say that having a high view of the Scriptures is more than an intellectual or mental thing. It really involves obedience, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And surrender and trust, which is the heartbeat of our theology here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we want to talk this morning a little bit about the barriers to intimacy. Andre, what are a couple of barriers that kind of jump to your mind when it comes to this issue of intimacy in Scripture?
I think what we've been accused of traditionally is worshiping the Bible instead of worshiping the God behind the Bible. When we tend to worship Scripture itself, we almost make Scripture our Pope, so to speak. Mm. Or when we treat the Bible as a bunch of superstitious gatherings or writings, I think when we worship it, when we're superstitious with it, when we treat it like a good luck charm. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a family that lived across the street from us in Dillon, South Carolina. One night, the father was having a heart attack, and the little boy got his Bible out, and he said, "Jesus, do something about this." And it was almost as if, since his Bible is there, it was a trinket or a magical good luck charm, something that the Bible was supposed to do. But we're never supposed to worship the Scriptures. We're supposed to worship the God behind the Scriptures. Mm. And I think that's what we're called to this morning.
Sin can keep us from the book too, can't it? If we harbor sin in our hearts, He's not going to hear us. He's not going to draw close to us.
I think one thing we need to remember, that this book can keep us from sin, or that sin will keep us from this book. Mm-hmm. Howard Hendricks used to say it this way: a dusty Bible will lead to a dirty life. So we're supposed to stay away from sin by being intimate with the Lord in this book. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that we need to remember, we can become so busy and so busy with the busyness of life until we don't keep the Bible as the center and the focus of all that we're trying to do and all that we're trying to be. We can tend to push the Bible to the side because of our busyness. And some things I've noticed since I've been here the last 12 years at CIU, we can study God's Word as a textbook and not really study it for life change. We can use it for information, but not for transformation. And every time the book is open, it should be used to transform someone's life.
Now, wait a minute. You're saying we need to pray before we study Scripture?
I think we need to pray while we're studying Scripture, before we study Scripture, after we study Scripture. I think it needs to help us with our relationship with the Lord as we allow God's word to really, really change us from the inside out and not from the outside in.
Okay. Let's go back to that idea of busyness for just a second. I shared with you an illustration that I got recently from Mark Driscoll, and I thought it was really helpful. He said this. He said, "It was a very normal day until I realized that I was actively destroying my own soul. The day began with my alarm jolting me awake. I immediately turned on my BlackBerry to hear it chime for each voicemail and email that had been left while I slept. I stepped into the shower where I listened to my waterproof radio. I then turned on the television to catch some news while I dressed. Driving to work, I tuned into some talk radio banter. Throughout the day, the chime on my laptop kept ringing as email arrived, and my cell phone continued to vibrate and ring on my hip. Before long, I needed a break, and I put on my iPod to go for a walk. On the drive home, I again listened to the radio in an effort to drown out the blaring horns of frustrated fellow commuters. After eating dinner and tucking my 5 children into bed, I turned on the television to watch shows I had recorded on my TiVo. As I drifted off to sleep, it dawned on me that I had not had 1 minute of silence during my entire day. It was possible, I realized, that I could live the rest of my life without ever again experiencing silence. In that moment, God deeply convicted me that I was addicted to the false trinity of our day, the gods known as noise, hurry, and crowds. I remember the words of missionary martyr Jim Elliot, who said, "I think the devil has made it his business to monopolize on 3 elements, noise, hurry, crowds. Satan is quite aware of the power of silence." And that helped me a lot when I read that, to remind myself that if I want to become intimate with the Lord, it's going to require a commitment to silence before Him and silence before the Word.
I think there needs to be days, if not weeks in our life, where we take the time just to get the noise out of our life and really take the time to hear from the Lord, to be still before Him.
What are some practical steps that have helped you in kind of overcoming some of the barriers you've talked about?
I think a daily, personal, quiet time. A time of just getting with God in His Word, maybe with a song, with prayer, and then just deep Bible study. Just reading for God's Word to do something in my life. Mm-hmm. And then there's an openness to God during that time. There's an openness to what God may be saying to me during this time. And I think a third thing is an openness to change. But God, I really want to read Your word so it can change my life. My grandmother, she's with the Lord now, had a 6th grade education. And while I was here at CIU, I would often go to see her. And she'd remind me, she'd say, "Don't just study the book to change somebody else's life. Let the Lord use this book to change your life." And that's been meaningful to me.
Amen. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes, have anything to say that kind of strikes you?
Yes, yesterday we were in preaching class, and some of my guys are here this morning, and we went over a verse of scripture, and one of them even commented that he'd never seen this verse in this light before. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. I want to read it for you here, where he reminds us here in the book of Ecclesiastes about the benefit of knowing the word. He says, "Not only was the teacher wise," this is, of course, Solomon talking, "but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs." That means he knew how to classify these different writings. And then the Bible goes on to say, verse 10 there, "The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true." You remember David says it this way in Psalm 119. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." I appreciate David and Solomon. I appreciate guys like Ezra who says, I'm going off script a little bit.
Sorry.
I appreciate guys like Ezra who says, I studied the word. Then he sought to do the word. Then he communicated the truth of God's word. I can go by Nehemiah chapter 8, where they stood all day as the word of God was being read and explained. It does something for me. My church likes, 30-minute sermons. They kind of frown when I do 45 minutes or an hour. But I like to read Nehemiah chapter 8, where they stood all day in that oral society to hear God's word. I think we're intimate with the Lord when we hear his word, when we carry out his word, and when we teach his word to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you talked about the benefits of intimacy there. Let's discuss that for a few more minutes.
Well, since you've been walking with the Lord for 45 years.
We don't really have to go into details.
I think that's when the light bulb was made and when the cars were created.
Benjamin Franklin was a friend.
Benjamin Franklin was still around then. Yeah. Tell us about your 45 years of walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and knowing the Lord through the scriptures.
How long do you have?
Not 45 years.
Not 45 years. One of the things I think the Lord's been teaching us as a family is that sometimes God's grace and mercy is shown most specifically to us when we're going through a hard time. I mean, it's easy for us to pray, Lord, save me from pain, save me from tragedy, protect me from calamity. But it's often in those really hard times that he drives us to himself and draws us to his word. And so for my wife Linda and me, we've discovered in going through some hard things that we've, in a sense, rediscovered the joy of being in his word every day. And we would describe it as our oxygen.
Mm.
An oxygen-deprived brain is not going to be a good situation. And I would argue an oxygen-deprived Christian is not a good situation either. So one of the benefits, I think, of tragedy, difficulty, calamity is the possibility that it can draw us deeper into his word and a more severe commitment to it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
One of the scriptures that has come to really bless my life, and I'm sure it's blessed yours over your time, 45 years of ministry,
is 45 again.
Well,
it's really painful.
Since you've
it's okay, go ahead.
Been here 45 years walking with the Lord. One of the scriptures that's come to bless us is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And you talked about that oxygen, where it says, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuke, for correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Could you take a moment and kind of help us understand that? We've talked about it in the last two sessions, and I think today would be a good place to really climax on this verse.
Yeah, I think that's very true. All scripture. So I need to be careful lest I favor certain passages that I like or are comfortable to me or easier to understand.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
So you mean that the red letters in the Bible are not more important than the black letters in the
Bible? I think that was a mistake. Whoever decided to do the red letter thing?
I thought the words that Jesus had was more important than anybody else's.
The Holy Spirit guided all the writers of Scripture that what they said is as fully inspired as the words in red.
Wow.
And I think that's the challenge that some Christians face. They begin to favor sections of the Bible like the Gospels or like the book of Acts or like the book of Romans. And we miss the beauty of those more difficult to understand passages.
You mean the genealogies have something for
I them? Love those. I've memorized. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But Andre, if we were in a culture that really valued genealogies, we'd probably memorize those because we'd be proud of what God has done in our family line and so on. But I think of sections that are difficult to understand. Some of the prophets are hard for me. Some of the prophetic material is difficult. And the Christian who says, I really don't like prophecy or end times, my question is, well, what do you do with all that prophetic material? We have a responsibility to study all the Word of God. One of the things that's helped me, by the way, is something called unit reading, where I don't just read kind of dribs and drabs of Scripture or little snippets, but I try to read an entire book at a sitting. I've not done that with Psalms yet. I don't think Psalms is a book for that.
Wow.
But to sit down and read all the way through the book of Ezekiel will give you some insight that you wouldn't normally get just by reading about a few things here and there and the helicopter in chapter 1.
So if I'm a new Christian, what book would you suggest that I read first?
I'd probably send you right to John's Gospel.
Why John?
Just because it elevates.
Was he your cousin?
No, okay. No. It was a little bit before my 45 years.
Okay, John.
Yeah, you had to bring that up again,
yes,
didn't
yeah,
you?
Okay. I couldn't remember.
I think for a new believer, they need to quickly get into an appreciation of the life of the Lord Jesus and his death and his resurrection. And for me, I would probably recommend the Gospel of John. How about you? What would you recommend?
You know what? I'm an action man. and Steven Spielberg has always been meaningful to me.
That's not a book in the Bible, you know.
Yeah, but I think he wrote the book of Mark. Because immediately, things are happening in the book of Mark. And I have ADD and my mind is all over the place. And one thing about the book of Mark, it gets me right into it.
Yep.
And I'm right in the action and in the thick of things. So between the book of John, the book of Mark, Luke is a little slower for me. Yeah. I mean, he's a medical doctor. I mean, all those physician's terms. I mean, he's elevating people and everything. But book of Mark really does it for me.
I've often said that if you unit read the Gospel of Mark, because as you mentioned, the word immediately is a prominent term. I challenge any of us here to read straight through the Gospel of Mark at one sitting, and I guarantee at the end of it, you'll be going, because Mark runs us from one event to the next. His emphasis is on Christ as perfect servant, and very little emphasis on the speeches of Jesus. No one really wants to hear a servant give a lot of speeches. And so we're running from one miracle to the next. And unit reading that actually has a way, I think, of producing a kind of emotive response we otherwise wouldn't get.
You know, that makes me feel good because in my Mark, with the book of Mark in my second preaching class, I have the students to read Mark several times in one sitting to try to get the flow of the book so they can learn how to tell Mark as a story.
Yeah, very good, very good. But part of the problem that I face, and I'm sure everybody else faces, is we need to carve out time to do something like unit reading.
Yes. I think for me, early in the morning works. I don't know about for you.
Oh, I need it early in the morning.
Yeah.
Most of my sin is during the day. It's not while I'm sleeping. So I've heard Christians say, well, I'm just not a morning person. And I'm not sure that we all have to be morning people, but to carve out time to start the day for many of us involves going to bed a little bit earlier than night before.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
Often a challenge.
And you know, one thing I appreciate still about going to church is it seems as though when my pastor is preaching, and in the situation I'm in right now, I'm the preacher. But when other people are preaching, it's somehow the Holy Spirit uses the preaching, and it's almost like, excuse me, pardon me, get out of my way. I'm trying to talk to you today. And it's always amazing, is if the preacher's all up in my business. It's almost like they're on my Facebook account. It's almost like they're on MySpace and reading my stuff. And I'm like, hold up.
Makes you Twitter, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes me Twitter when I'm... and I ain't trying to have an attitude or nothing. I know the Lord has a Facebook account. And I'm not always on his Facebook account. Mm. So I'm wondering why he has to have these preachers on my Facebook account.
Has he accepted you as a friend? That would be the question I would ask.
Well, I think he had. But
I think he has too.
But isn't it good to know how God uses his word, you know, as a Facebook page?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's made all of us a friend. You know, Tony Evans said it best. God's word is so deep to the deepest theologian couldn't touch the bottom. But it's also so shallow till a child couldn't drown in it.
Amen.
And I've appreciated that so much because I have people that always tell me, I can't understand it. And I said, you know, let's spend some time with it. My daughter's a master's, you know, Hannah Montana. I'm sick of Hannah Montana, by the way. But my daughters know every last one of the songs. And I'm challenging them, hey, instead of knowing all of those songs, why don't you know some songs out of Scripture?
Right, right.
And why don't you put some music to them? And really, they've taken up that challenge.
Excellent.
And it has blessed our family.
Our topic is intimacy. And I'm betting, Andre, that in your marriage, you've got to make some serious decisions to advance in intimacy in your own marriage.
Yes.
So it wasn't good enough that at an altar, how many years ago?
Almost 14 years now.
14 years, man. Okay, so almost 14 years ago when you said, I do, you didn't say to your lovely bride, listen and listen hard, I'm going to say this one time, I love you, right?
Not over the last 14 years, but I do know this fella who got married like in the 1930s. He told his wife he loved her. And around about their 50th wedding anniversary, she said, honey, do you love me? And he said, She said, no, honey, do you love me? He said, She said, honey, do you love me? He said, woman, I told you 50 years ago I loved you, and when I change my mind, I will let you know.
That grunt sounded very much like John Harvey, didn't it?
No, he's my dissertation director. No, no, no jokes about John
Harvey. No comments
about
him. No. Makes sense. Andre, let's talk about the building of intimacy. I can imagine that some students are saying, well, that's very well and good for you, you know, teaching kind of guys, and this is what you do, and this is your occupation. But, you know, I'm just a normal Christian. What steps can I take? How can I work on that?
Well, the Bible does remind us that we should study to show ourselves approved to God. Mm-hmm. A workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So for me, when I read scripture, I try to read it thoroughly. I try to read it patiently. I try to read it repeatedly. I think the one thing I picked up from my president, keep on reading it until you memorize it, get it into your spirit. I try to read it prayerfully and meditatively. I try to have a purpose behind while I'm reading scripture. Mm-hmm. And one thing I try to encourage my students, as you hear different topics come up in scripture, systematize it. Put it in categories in your mind. So as you face those situations in ministry, you can just access those places in which you've already systematized, and you have the different topics in which you can access scripture and really use those scriptures at your time of hardship, those times that are difficult, those times that are lonely.
When you say categorize things in your mind, that scares older people because we forget things.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. We forget things.
Yes.
So what has helped you in terms of recording things you're learning that assist you in intimacy with God?
Now you ask me, how do I do it?
What are some things you do?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I do, I love to listen to sermons. And I listen to sermons pretty regularly. And also I use note cards to put selected passages of scriptures on note cards. And I don't text while I'm driving, but I will glance at my note cards while I'm driving. Mm-hmm. And try to remember scripture that way. Every once in a while, I'll turn on Bible Gateway and just let the scriptures just put on selected passages and just let the computer read it to me. Good. I'm always trying to find those spots, those places where I can put God's word a little deeper into my life, mm-hmm. whether it's consciously or subconsciously as I'm listening to God's word.
Yeah, I've actually found it helpful to do my devotions every day on my laptop.
Wow.
To grab a text of scripture like...
Well, why not on your phone? Because you keep all your
it's
notes.
It's too small. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's too small. And my data plan, anyway, it's a long story. But to take a passage of scripture, say something like the man born blind in John 9, and to focus on that for a month or 2 months and just break it down verse by verse, I found that very helpful for me, and it usually winds up to be a class lecture or two.
Wow.
But just to keep those notes, those observations, the questions I have that I may not be able to answer right away, and I try very hard to end that little devotional time with a prayer that I type out.
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that I can go back and look at some of those prayers and be specifically reminded of how God answered those. I think the evil one wants to keep us in a fog.
Yes.
To where we know we need to pray, but then in our souls we wonder, has it done any good?
Right.
And for me, if I don't keep a record of that and go back and look at it, I'm afraid I can start thinking, I don't know, prayer's not really that effective.
I still think what we're seeing with both of our illustrations is that you have to spend time to build intimacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to spend time in His Word, time not just doing all the talking, but let God talk to you as well.
Yeah.
And really have a reflective read on scriptures. And one thing I think I found helpful as I'm doing the same thing, especially going through the book of Mark, I put myself in the disciples' shoes. Mm-hmm. And it really helps me to imagine what would I do if I were in that situation, like Mark chapter 5 or Mark chapter 4, when on the boat and you know, the storm is raging. I'm wondering, what would I do if the storm was raging? You know, and Jesus was asleep in the midst of that storm. What would I do? I would have probably woke Him up too. And, you know, Jesus, help us out during this time.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering about my faith challenge. As I read scripture.
Yeah, yeah. What as we pursue intimacy with the Lord, are there Christian writers that come to your mind that really helped you there? Because there's one I want to talk about for just a minute.
You know, I apologize, but I like the one you brought up, Tozer, Piper.
Oh, you're stealing Tozer from me. That's not very nice.
But Piper, how many of you all read Piper? Yeah, I mean, Piper is like our favorite. I like to read MacArthur stuff. I like to read a lot of Tony Evans, Mark Driscoll. There's a lot of different writers that really do it for me. I can't remember the author of Blue Light Jazz, but how many of you all have read Blue Light Jazz? I mean, these different writers have really, really kind of poked me, stirred me up in terms of really deepening my relationship with the Lord, which is another great way of getting this intimacy that we're talking about.
But in a sense, it's secondhand, isn't it?
Because yes,
it's
yes,
people
yes.
other than Scripture,
yes.
but they can inspire us, they can encourage us. We need to read some of the stuff that comes out there. But the bottom line is the book
yeah.
should be the primary source.
You know, you encouraged me with a story you told me this week.
Really?
With your coffee buddy early in the morning. Why don't you tell them about your coffee buddy?
I have a coffee buddy.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Dr. Terry Hulbert is my coffee buddy.
Yeah.
I'm his Starbucks source.
Yeah.
About 3 days a week, I give him a call and I just say 5 minutes. That's it. He knows that means coffee's brewing. And we have the best time. We really do.
I've been blessed by so many of our professors here because as a student here in the early 90s, I was blessed by Dr. Beyer. Dr. Beyer, put the finger up real quick. One more day before I take Hebrew. I was blessed with Dr. Beyer. Jack Lehman, he's a fossil around here. I think he's been with the Lord. Where's Jack Lehman?
Jack Lehman's with the Lord?
What? No, he's not with the Lord, but he's a fossil around here. You know, my heart's still sad that Dr. Williams is not here anymore. Joel Williams. Anybody like Joel Williams? I mean, sorry about that. Y'all, don't make any noise while we're preaching next time.
We should send a copy of this message to Joel.
Yeah, I mean, I've appreciated those professors who've built into my life. I've appreciated my colleagues like John Crutchfield and Mick Williams. I think he's the man. He's probably the coolest professor. Here, Dr. McWilliams, and I've just appreciated all of our professors. I've appreciated our president here, Bill Jones, who won't let me tell half of my stories that I know about him, but I've appreciated
Smart.
Really getting to our and I think that the students should take advantage of the professors that we have here to really glean from their lives and how we can get more intimate through Scripture to know the Lord.
You know, you're saying a lot of good things there, but one thing I'm picking out is I think you're saying intimate, close Christian friends assist us in our intimacy with God.
Yes.
In other words, hang around people who are excited about moving on in the knowledge of God.
I thoroughly agree with that.
Yeah, it's a good place to do that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why on Sunday morning, every CIU student should be in church. It got real quiet right through there.
It did,
so
didn't
this,
it? Yeah.
this is a good
yeah,
preaching
pretty much,
moment.
Pretty much.
Every CIU student, every Sunday morning, should be in church. We should never neglect the fellowship with one another because we need to encourage one another. We need to be on the good biblical authority from God's word, from a local pastor who really knows how to put the Bible in your lap to challenge you to live better.
Absolutely.
I think we should take every advantage of that. We should be there Sunday night and Monday night, Tuesday night, never mind, but just make sure you go every Sunday morning.
You mentioned Tozer a few minutes ago. I have one quote from him that's meant a lot to me, and some are aware of this
statement.
Now,
did you know this guy? Because you've been... Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. What time is this chapel over? Oh, Tozer said, "How tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers."
Wow.
"Everything is made to center upon the initial act of, quote-unquote, accepting Christ, and we're not expected thereafter to crave any further revelation of God to our souls. We have been snared in the coils of a spurious logic which insists that if we have found Him, we need no more seek Him." I've known that quote for a lot of years, but I keep going back to it, especially when I find my heart becoming a bit lukewarm and I'm no longer taking steps to pursue further intimacy with Him.
That's true.
Yeah. What else?
That's painful.
You just want to pause on that one for a minute.
You know what? That's deserving of a pregnant pause because that's so painful for where we are as Christians. Only at the point that we know Him, and it's not even a deep knowledge of Him.
Right.
At that point that we've come to know Him as Lord and Savior of our lives, that we stop trying to pursue Him. You know, I can remember the first night I ever called my wife, which she wasn't my wife or my girlfriend at that point. Mm-hmm. And I called her, and I found out she didn't have a boyfriend. We stayed on the phone for 6 hours.
Oh my goodness.
It was on a Saturday night going into a Sunday morning. And I couldn't wait to get home from church that Sunday to talk to her again. And we stayed on the phone another 6 or 7 hours. And over the years, we've talked on the phone. I have phone bills I can show you. But we've talked on the phone for hours upon hours. And I'm telling you, that's how our relationship grew. Mm-hmm. That's probably why we ended up getting married, because we talked so much. And we're still talking to this day. And I think when our relationship with the Lord needs to mirror that same kind of relationship, that we should talk to him, not just for just a few moments a day,
right,
but really throughout the day, we should engage in conversations with the Lord and just pray and ask God for his peace, his understanding of his word. So as every time that we go to his word, we should pray and ask God, Lord, give me a deeper understanding of you from reading your word.
I'm hearing you say that we have got to invest time to develop an intimate relationship. And I wonder how many Christians think that just because they're in the family of God, they have already a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. It's just not true. It's a lifelong process.
I think that's
and
a
pursuit.
Misnomer. Yes. It's a lifelong. I have people in my church in their 80s. One sweet sister, she's 87 years old, and she rarely misses Bible study, rarely misses prayer service. And one day I asked her, I said, you know, you're always here. And she said, because I need to know him better mm-hmm. before I get to heaven.
Yep.
And that's been such a wonderful, wonderful model for our church, because she wants to know him better before she gets to heaven.
Almost sounds like it would make a good motto for a Christian school.
Yeah, to know him.
Hmm.
And
we can think about that second part some other time.
Yes.
Andre, one text that really helps me a lot is Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Part of our problem, I think, sometimes is we get so close to Scripture or so familiar with Scripture, we miss its challenge, we miss its impact. And what strikes me here, among a number of things, is as Jesus invites people to come to him and learn from him, the question I would ask is, how do we do that today? Back in the day of Jesus, you could strap on your sandals, grab a bag lunch, and say to the wife, I'm going to go sit at the feet of this Rabbi Jesus and learn about life in eternity, right? You could do that. We can't do that today. So it seems to me that the overall emphasis of Scripture is I come to him and I learn from him in one primary way, through his word.
Amen.
Through his word. I mean, I can learn about the Lord from other believers, from various media that I expose myself to, but I really come to know him as I use his primary means, which is the word of God as illuminated by the Spirit of God.
I've heard so many people, you know, they say, I'm going to church to get under the word, or I'm driving out of town to this conference to get under the word. But I'm wondering, will they just walk across the room to get in the word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
To spend the critical time getting in the word. And we all have our favorite speakers. We all have the people we enjoy listening to. But we need to also enjoy digging into God's word for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that takes effort.
Sure it does.
That takes an openness for God's word to change you.
When I was a high school student, Andre, shortly after all the dinosaurs had died off planet Earth, I remember going to biology class, and I only learned one thing in biology class.
How to dissect the dinosaur?
No. I learned the word osmosis.
Osmosis.
And I think a lot of Christians are still stuck with that word, that they think that growth in intimacy with God is somehow through the process of spiritual osmosis. If we just show up, it'll sink into our pores and we'll become closer to God. And it's just not true.
It just doesn't work that way.
So all these students that you challenged to be on church on Sunday, I don't think you just meant a physical presence.
No, sir.
What did you mean?
I meant to be there with their body, with their soul, with their spirit.
A notebook? Ready
to be engaged with their notebook.
You mean we can write things down in church? That's legal?
Yes. I write down things when I'm in my quiet time with the Lord. And you do as well.
You write down things as you're driving. You were coming at me the other day, but that's a different story.
Wait a minute, hold up. You know, for so often, even preachers and teachers of the word, Wayne Cordero says this, that we teach this way. We get something from the word and just throw it out there. But one thing he challenged pastors to do, and professors to do, is really take the word of God and eat it first. And then as we eat God's word, we can preach and teach from our hearts.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so important for us here is at Bible college or seminary, graduate school, that we're really taking God's word for ourselves first and then give it away. And that builds that intimacy that an audience can relate to, that this person is walking with God, getting to know God through his word.
Cordero has written a really good book called Leading on Empty.
Oh, yes.
And he talks about burnout, and he says a lot of great things. One of the things he talks about is the absolute cruciality of keeping my tank filled.
That's right.
And it seems to me that's one of the benefits of Scripture. Not only does it draw me into an intimate relationship with the Lord, but it helps to keep my tank filled.
Amen.
As you and I close, we've had 3 points here, you know, as we've talked about this.
You think it's a sermon or something.
Well, how do you end a 3-point sermon?
I think with a point.
Do you have one?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
Always.
Let's hear it.
Here it is. Someone said, on the table side by side is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well-worn but cherished with pride, not the Bible, the TV guide. One is used daily to help folks decide, no, it's not the Bible, it is a TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall we see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide, no, not the Bible, it's the TV guide. The word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse, or they fall into bed, exhausted and sleepy, and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but from watching TV. So then, back to the table side by side is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sin is so full and free. It's found in the Bible and not on TV.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, you know us inside and out, and you know the challenges that we face, but we pray, dear Lord, that we would not just be orthodox in what we believe about Scripture, but we would be orthodox in our use of Scripture, and that we would become intimate with you and look forward to each day of diving into your Word, submitting to its authority, enjoying its truths, and obeying its commands. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.